Bible with mission letters today, and I planned on those. And around 2 o'clock or so, I got in the Bibles, just kicking things around. Hold on to your mission letters. If we can get done with this, we'll do mission letters. But I want to do a Bible study first. Amen. Amen. And probably nothing you never heard about, but it's what came on my heart. Usually, when God puts things on your heart, it's usually people, other people need to hear it. And we're going to, I don't have that blackboard no more, do I? The blackboard with the chalk? Oh, okay, never mind then. Never mind. If you got a paper and pen, or get the back of your bulletin, you can take notes on that. If you had a bulletin from Sunday. And I just want to talk to you about a few things. If we get time, we'll do mission letters. But I got thinking about Jesus and the Trinity and the Word, W-O-R-D, capital double W-O-R-D. It's only in the Bible 5 times. The word, W-O-R-D, capital W-O-R-D. It's in the New Testament 5 times. And I just got kicking around, but I want to show you something. Maybe you've already heard it. Maybe you're going to learn this. Maybe you can show it to someone else. It'll be fresh in your heart. Let's start at the beginning, Genesis 1:1. I'm going to lead up to the word, Coolidge. Glad you're here for the Bible study. And look at Genesis 1:1. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, go back as far as you want, God's there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God's the creator, and we know that, amen? And that word God, in the Hebrew word, and I'm not teaching the Hebrew stuff, but I know a little bit. Matter of fact, I know a little Hebrew that sells hot dogs down the road. I'm just kidding you. Good. But the word God means in Hebrew, Elohim, or Elohim. It's a unit. And the reason I'm using that, it's a uniplural noun. God, you know what? I got in studying today, and I hope the Lord gives me strength again. I'd like to start the Bible college back. I really would. I've got some preachers here that can help me now, and Pastor Dave, of course, and maybe in the future we can get our Bible college or institute going. Amen? That's something in my heart, if the Lord would raise me up. I have to admit to you, I've been real tired. I laid in bed till 3 o'clock this afternoon. I went to bed last night. 12. My body was completely... we had company all last week. We had a great time. But I pushed it beyond the measure, and my body just collapsed. But I'm coming back, amen? I'm pulling in the valley. And so I'm fresh from getting up. And so you got me for about 2 hours. No, I'm just kidding you. But let me just pray. Father, I really believe you put this in my heart this afternoon. And Lord, I just pray I can be a blessing to the people. Lord, if it could be possible, I pray you could raise my body up that once again I could be a powerful preacher. And I could, Lord, I could be an instructor in the Bible college. I'd really love to teach that book of Romans again, Lord. Sure like to keep passing it down to young preachers. Lord, please make things come to pass, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, circle that word God. In the Hebrew word for God there is Elohim, or Elohim, how you want to pronounce it. And Elohim is a uniplural noun, notating more than a noun, more than one. Because, see, God is a Trinity. Are you with me? And there's the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost, but they're all three one. I'll show you that later in, as we get to the Scriptures. But God's a Trinity. And even in the very first word, in the very first verse, rather, of Genesis 1:1, when the first word God, it's a Elohim, which means it's a uniplural noun, which means it's more than one. It's three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Look at 1:26. I'm just laying something down. Please. I'm going to teach you about the word here, but I'm trying to lay a little foundation first. In 1:26, how many got Genesis 1:26? And God said, let us. Let me see that. Let us make man in our own image. And so, let us. You say, well, he's talking to the angels. I don't think so. He's talking to the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Let us make man. So there again, it's the Trinity. We see the Trinity found. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Right now, I'm just trying to lay down a foundation of the Trinity. By the way, there's a lot more scriptures than I'm going to give you. But this is what the Lord put in my heart. And if I can get this done, and we could do a couple of letters, that'd be great. If not, I'm not worried about it. Matthew chapter 28. We're talking about the Trinity. 3 and 1. Look at 28:19. How many got Matthew 28:19? Go ye, or yuns, y'all, from West. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So there's the Trinity right there. I'm going to show you when we get down to that last word, W-O-R-D. Oh, don't turn to it now. It's at the bottom of the list. But you're going to see where God mentions Jesus as the Word. But again, it's showing the Trinity. And I'm just giving you a teaching on the Trinity. Someone tries to go against it, you can always show them Scripture. I got you in Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Look when they baptized Jesus. The Trinity's shown at Jesus' baptism. Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. How many got Matthew 3, 16 and 17? Jesus, you got Matthew 3, 16? And Jesus, circle Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, circle Spirit of God. What's the Spirit of God? Holy Ghost. How many are with me? You got Jesus. You got the Holy Ghost. Spirit of God there. Like descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And to a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. That's the Father. So you got the Father speaking, the dove of heaven coming down representing the Spirit of God, and Jesus himself being baptized. 3 and 1. How many get that? The Trinity. The Trinity is found all through the Scriptures. Now, God made man in his image. Remember, he said, let's make man in our own image? Okay, look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Is God a Trinity? Say yes or no. Okay. God made man. Did God make man in the image of him? Okay. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 23. A lot of you have taken the book of Romans. You know right where preacher's going because you've had these teachings. But they're great teachings to have. How many got 1 Thessalonians 5:23? And the very God of peace, we're talking about the Trinity, and we're talking about God said, let us make man. In Genesis 1:26, he said, let us make man in our image. Well, I showed you that God was a Trinity in a few scriptures there. Now I'm going to show you that God made us a Trinity. God made man in his own image. We are made as a Trinity. 23, and the very God of your peace sanctify, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved, blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many could say amen? Amen. We are a Trinity. We are body, soul, and spirit, just like God is a Trinity. How many are with me? Jesus was the body. Hello? He came down in the flesh. And now we're going to show you that. So, there's tons of scriptures. But I just want to lay a little foundation to give you a background. Tonight I want to just share with you now, in the next few minutes we have, I want to share with you this capital W-O-R-D word. It's only mentioned five times in the New Testament. Every time it's mentioned, it refers to Jesus Christ. Every time it's mentioned, it refers to Christ. When we get down to the 1 John, there are some people that think they know more than God. And they said, there's some people that say, that don't believe this King James Bible is a pure word of God. They say it shouldn't be there. I got news for you. It's supposed to be there because God put it there. So if you hear some numbskull tell you that that's not in the good version, tell me you ain't got the right one. Now we're going to just take a few minutes. Man, I might get done before 8 o'clock. Man, I'm doing great. And we're going to study this word, W-O-R-D. Write down on your paper, if you're taking notes, write down capital W-O-R-D, word. Then put a little slash and put Jesus. And there's going to be five, I'm going to give you five scriptures that you can see this. It's a the word's recorded five times. It's only in three scriptures, three different, but the word itself is recorded five times. And three, divine number. Five. Five's number of the world. Let's see here. No. Five. No, grace. Five is grace. In the Old Testament, it meant death because David took five stones to kill Goliath. I know he only used one. You say, why did he take five? Goliath had four sons. And David figured, hey, if I kill their dad, their boys, if someone hurt my dad, I'd be going after him. I would. Especially a little rugged, little ruddy runt like David. But he took five. And that five in the Old Testament represent death. Five in the Old Testament represent death. Five in the New Testament represents grace. Jesus fed the 5,000 with five loaves of bread and two small fish. How many are with me? So in the New Testament, five represents grace. In the Old Testament represents death. And by the way, five and three, what was the numbers? What did I, five and three. They equal eight, but what was I on? What did I say that three is the divine number, five is the number of grace, and five and three is eight, and eight's a type of salvation. There was eight people in the ark. They were delivered from death. Eight people in the ark. Eight represents salvation. What's it, Lizzie? It's, you're right. Boy, you were in my class, weren't you? Because when you get saved, you have a new beginning. Eight does represent a new beginning. It sure does. A type of salvation. Because we become new creatures in Christ. Corinthians 5:7 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so after we get saved, it's a new beginning for us. Amen? That's, boy, you learn. You're a good student, kid. Amen. And let's study about this word, capital W-O-R-D. It's referring to Jesus every time. It's recorded five times in the New Testament. Well, let's turn to John chapter 1. It's recorded three times there, by the way. John 1:1. It's actually recorded four times in John chapter 1, but in the first verse, it's recorded three times. Okay, we're studying the word. And I told you that word represents Jesus Christ. And again, you're going to see a trinity here, Lizzie, or somewhat of a trinity. You're going to see how God works. In the beginning was the word. Well, we know God was in, was God in the beginning? Genesis 1:1. Well, this word was with God. Look what it says. In the beginning was the word. Circle that. And the word was with God. Wow. He was with God. And the word was God. Wow. Read that again, preacher. That word's put three times here in verse 1. Let's see what it says about the word. We know Jesus is the word. And in verse, we'll get down to verse 14, you'll see it. In the beginning, well, you start with Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. So we must be starting with God, right? How many are thinking with preacher? In the beginning, God. Okay, in the beginning was the Word. So that whoever this word is, he was from the beginning. He always was. He was from everlasting to everlasting. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Wow. This wonderful word, that capital W-R-D that we're finding in this verse, he was in the beginning. In the beginning he was. And also in the beginning, he was with God. Matter of fact, if you keep reading 1:1, the Word was with God. He was with God, but more than that, and the Word was God. Wow! Why am I showing you this? You'll see in just a little bit. There's a lot of false religions out there, a lot of false cults. They'll tell you Jesus was not God. Well, this will set you free right here. Jesus was God in the flesh. It says this word that was in the beginning, 1:1, he was with God, and matter of fact, he was God. That's awful. He was the God. When God said, let there be oceans and birds and stuff, he was there. He did it. Matter of fact, this wonderful John of 1:1, this word, he was the creator. Was God the creator? Okay, now watch. And the Word was God. How many got verse 1? Okay, watch this. Look at verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Oh, wow. Yeah, he was with God. Watch this word, verse 3. All things were made by him. Were made by who? The Word. Are you with me? Who is the Word? God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Wow. So everything that was made, the Word made it. Amen? Amen. And him was life, and the life was the light of men. Boy, I think they called Jesus the light of the world. But that's just a coincidence. Watch. Then he says, there was a man sent from God, who's, verse 6, whose name was John. He came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John the Baptist wasn't that light. But he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was a true light, that which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. Oh, man. Woo! This light lights every man that comes in the world. Wow. When you have a baby, that baby's born. When you were born with a God conscience that God is. Every person that's ever born, I don't care what continent they're on, I don't care what their circumstances are, anywhere in this whole world where they're born, every baby born in Africa, in Germany, even in Hawaii, okay, in the Philippines, you name it, France, anywhere, America, every child that's ever born or that ever was born, they were born with a God conscience that God is. That's that light. They're born that God is. That's why it says in Hebrews, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? Are you okay? You're all blurry to me. I'm serious. I can't see you. There you are. Okay. Every child has a chance to be saved. Look up here. A lot of people say, well, they were born in a remote area and the gospel never got to them. If they wouldn't have put that light out, they would have got saved. There's a scripture there. I'll come. Look at Matthew. Let's see here. Don't lose John. I got to go back to John. 6. If that light be in you, it'd be dark, and how great is the darkness? Is that 639, 539 of Matthew? Someone find that for me. It's either, I think it's 538 or 39 or 639. I didn't have this planned. 623? That don't sound right, but I'll take it. Read it to me. If that light be in you, okay, read it to me. Read it. You got it, John? Who said that to me? How many got Matthew 6:23? I want everybody to see this Matthew 6:23. Thank you, John. Yeah, if the light that be in thee, you were born with it. You were born with a God conscience that God is. There's a scripture in Romans. I think it's Romans 2. I didn't have none of this plan. Lord, Lord. Is it 239? It says that you're without excuse. Let me see here. Roddy, I got all this written down. I'm not even talking what I wrote down, Rod. You that took the Romans class, help me. 120 sounds good. That's a rational center. Let's see, John. Good boy, John. Yeah. Thank you, John. For the invisible things of him, how many got Romans 120? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. The little kid, the little baby grows up, where's God? He'll look up in the stars and say, is God up there? Why? Because they got that, God put that light in him that God is. That's why I quoted Hebrews earlier. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that don't seek him. You know, I did a lot of bad things before I got saved, Lizzie. But one thing I didn't do, and I was very fortunate I didn't do, I didn't rationalize God out of my life. Even when I was tearing up those bars, which was wrong, Coolidge, I knew there was a God. And if you don't put that light out that God is, there's a good chance you're getting saved. Because he that cometh to God, I just didn't come to God. God spoke to me through the Holy Spirit after I heard the word of God. I used to walk out of that bar. I told you. I used to look up. God, I know there's more to life than this. 2:30 in the morning. God, I know there's more to life than this. See, I knew there was a God. I just didn't know who he was. How many are still with me? And then, not long after, I met a little girl named Rosie Cockrell. And guess what Rosie Cockrell did? They took me here to Baptist Church. Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. And guess who told me about God? That preacher that little girl took me to. Hello? How many are still with me? See, I never rationalized God out of my mind. It's when people rationalize God out of life, that's when they're in trouble. I never put that light. Every person born, they're not saved. I didn't say they were saved. I said they had a God conscience. That conscience. It says it in Romans. In Romans it says that their conscience bearing them witness. It's in, I think it's 239 of Romans. Let's see here. Am I in Romans? I just hope I get to show you what I wanted to show you, Rich. Let's see here. Romans. It says their conscience bearing them witness.
215.
What's is it? Am I right in the chapter?
Romans,
yes.
215.
I'm right in the chapter. I'll tell you, I lost a lot when I got sick. My memory. I'm hoping God gives me my memory back. Because I could use, you that know me, I could quote these scriptures off the top of my head. And take you right to them. Still had the right chapter. You can find them. Now, look at verse 14. How many in Romans chapter 2? Mm-hmm. We're not going to do the mission letters. I can tell you that right now. I want to do them, but this is more important to me. For when the Gentiles, which you are, and me, which have not the law, no, God gave the law to the Jews, And by the way, he only gave the law, we're not going to turn to Galatians, but anyway, he only gave it to the time of Christ, till the seed would come, and the seed came, which was Christ. It tells you that in Galatians. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature things concerning the law, these having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Well, what was written in their hearts? Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts mean excusing or else excusing one another. God gave us a conscience. That's why we do something. We say, oh man, how many of you ever done something and say, boy, I shouldn't have done that? Like I smashed TV I got mad at the printer years ago. I lost my temper, not that bad, mom. But I was trying to print something off at the computer in my house, and I bought it up there in Streetsboro, and it wouldn't print. I got mad, I grabbed it, bam, bam, bam. Boy, those parkers just flying everywhere. And I thought I took a guarantee on it, so if it broke, said, give me another one. I put it all back together, took it up to that, what is that place in Streetsboro?
Staples.
Yeah, Staples, yeah. But God, even if I did, God checked it. And I'm glad he did check it. Because it didn't break on its own. I just lost my temper, and all the king's horses and all the king's men wasn't going to put that baby back together. I took that thing back up there and I said, hey, do I have a guarantee on this thing? Oh. And they said, well, look, I don't know. And they said, we can't find it. And I could have sworn. But I told Joe there, yes, I think God erased it from the books. Because God didn't want me to do that anyways. I'm telling myself, is this holy confession? Okay. See, I'm just trying to tell you, everybody's got a fallen nature.
Amen. Right.
And they said, no, this isn't, I don't know if this is guaranteed anyways. This thing is broken pieces. Why not? I said, yeah, it just came apart. I didn't lie, it did. When I smashed it, it came apart in every place. I've got a computer. I'm telling you right now, I'm not losing my mind. But if the Lord ever gives us any money, I'm a denier. I'm telling you, I'm taking that computer. I promise you, don't think I'm flipping out. I'm taking that computer out on the land, and I got my, it's already loaded with 8 bullets. I got a 9mm pistol. Wham, wham, wham! I'm going to bring 2 clips, because I don't know if that's going to be enough. Wham, 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 wham! I'm going to shoot it 8 times. Just to make me feel, you say, that man, that preacher's flipping out. Yeah, I tell you, the Lord's making me wait. Hope I can wait long enough. But you say, why don't you do it now? I don't have $300 to buy a new one, whatever they cost. I broke a screen years ago. What's going on here? Years ago when I first got that computer, I didn't know. But I've always had a bad temper. But I'm getting mellowed out now in my older age. But boy, I got somebody that can. I hit that thing with all my might, knocked that screen over, and it went completely dark. It never came on. I don't know what I did to it, but I knocked the light out of it. I'll get back on the Bible. So we're all born with a light. Did you see our conscience in that? What was that verse again? And I was in Romans. Where was I at? 2? What was the verse I was at?
14.
15?
14.
Yeah.
Conscious in 15.
Yeah. I'm reading this at the latter part about the Jews. But, 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. And so God gave us a conscience. And that's what makes, we have a fallen nature. The Bible calls it the old man and the new man. And we're not going to get into that today, but that part of our of that flesh that says, this ain't right. How many of you have been, boy, that's not right? Or, for instance, I'll give you an example, because I want to finish the word here. You'll be at, say you're at McDonald's and you order a Big Mac and a milkshake, whatever you get, and the woman gives you back $10, too much change. Your first thing is, wow, I love McDonald's. I have a lady that runs one, and God is blessed from heaven, the golden arches. But if you keep driving with that $10 that they gave you too much, the Holy Spirit, that new man is going to say, oh, he's going to grieve.
Yeah.
But the old man's going to say, no, it's your day. God's blessing you.
Yeah.
You know, McDonald's got all kinds of money. They don't need it. Take it and give it to a missionary. That's a fallen flesh, I'll tell you that. And you'll say, okay, I'll keep it. I'll give it. Missionary comes. Oh, I wish I'd give that 10 to him, but I've already spent it. You spent the first 10 minutes you had it.
Right.
Hello? Hope you're still with me.
Yeah.
But we got a fallen nature, but we're born with a conscience. What I was trying to get to is, every person's born with a God conscience that God is. I don't care where they are. I don't care what nationality they are. Tito Mel, every person can be saved. Let me give you a scripture. I'm going to quote it to you. For the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. That's what scripture says there. Is it 2:11 of Titus? Timothy? Boy, I'm having trouble pulling things off. Well, I'm glad the scripture didn't leave me no rod. I don't have the address, but I still have the word in my heart.
Amen.
Titus 2:11. Look at Titus 2:11. See if that's scripture. For the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared. Am I right on that, preacher?
Right, yeah.
You have it, preacher? Read it to me. I want you to read that scripture, Brother Rich. Titus 2:11.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
Yes. The grace of God. How many got that? Yes. The grace of God has appeared to how many people?
All.
How many people?
All.
Yeah. All people who's ever been born, the grace of God has appeared to all people. Every person has a chance to be saved. And if that light, they're born with that light, Ray, that God conscience that God is, that's that grace of God that appears to all men. Because it's not God's will that any perish, but all come to repentance, scripture says. And if Betty, if they don't, the reason you got saved, Betty, the reason Johnny got saved, when that light came, you didn't resist it. You said, give me more, I want to know more about Jesus. We've seen that song, more about Jesus, more about Jesus. Right? When you get a heart that says, I want to know more about Jesus, you'll know more about him. Because the Bible says, draw nigh unto God, James 4:8, and he'll draw nigh to you. And what happens, God's got a God conscience. And the only reason I got saved, it wasn't I wasn't good enough to be saved. I was very bad. But God, so he's a God of grace.
Yes.
And I drew new to, I searched, I reached out for God and God came to me. And sing that song, he came to me. When I could not come to him, he came to me. I couldn't save myself. God had to save me. Amen? Well, let's go back to John chapter 1. Let's try to finish this off. Wow. It's already 8 o'clock. We're doing great, aren't we? Now you know what happens in my Bible college. That's why we had 2-hour classes. When I went to Dr. Brooke had 4-hour classes. One subject.
So did we at
times. So I'm telling you, so I can get done with this tonight. The capital WRD is used 5 times in the New Testament. It's always referring to Jesus. So in John chapter 1, we found out in the beginning was the Word. Are you with me? Number 1, in the beginning was the Word. Number 2, the Word was with God. Number 3, the Word was God. How many see that?
Mm-hmm.
We found out this Word was the Creator. And he made everything. And there was nothing made that was made that wasn't made by him. So whoever this Word is, that's the Creator, right? Look at verse 14, number 4. I only got five of them. Boy, I'm really moving through now, Eddie. And the Word, look at verse 14, and the Word was what? Oh, wow, God came down to man.
Yes.
Yeah. That word in the New Testament, is the Greek word there is logos. Don't worry about Greek and Hebrew. I've been taught it, but I don't care about it. But just for you smart people, and that logos, it's a Greek word for the God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Wow. That Word that was in the beginning, that Word that was with God, that Word that was God, was made flesh? Wow! Who is this Word? This Word's Jesus. So when you saw Jesus, you saw God in the flesh. When they saw Jesus. Stay right there, don't move. I'm just going to quote a scripture. To wit, I think it's Corinthians 5:19. Don't worry about it. To wit that God was in Christ. That God was in Christ. Reconciled us unto himself. Boy, you study about Jesus. He was God in the flesh. There's one in Corinthians 5:21 I'm trying to pull up.
First or second?
I think it's 2 Corinthians. So if I just heard one word, I could quote it. 2 Corinthians 5:21. What is it?
5:21 says,
For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteous of God in him. Mm-hmm. Only God can forgive sin.
Yes.
And Jesus was a sin bearer. Amen? Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 5:21.
Yes.
And so, let's go back to John. I've got to finish this out. I was thinking about my Romans a lot today, and that I love teaching that book, and there's a lot in there, isn't there? So, number one, in the beginning was the Word. Number two, the Word was with God. The Word, number three, John 1:1, the Word was God. John 1:14, the Word, capital W-R-D, was made flesh. Well, we know who he was, and dwelt among us. We know who that's referring to. Who is that referring to? Referring to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You say, my, you mean to tell me he was God and then he was the Son of God? Yes. He was a God-man. He was God inside of a man's body. Although he didn't have sin. Isn't that cool? You know why he didn't have sin? This is really great. I just had this plan. I hope I didn't do anything I did wrong. I even got to what I wrong. Isn't that cool? Make me feel like the old days, man. The reason Jesus didn't have any sin was because he didn't have human blood.
Right.
See, the scripture says in Romans 5:12, wherefore if by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, Romans 5:12. And all that came down, every one of us, I don't care who your name is, I don't care if you're Irish, hillbilly, whatever you are, Dutch, Greek, whatever you are, I don't care, whatever, you got your blood tainted. Because Johnny, no matter where, I know we all got different trees that we follow, genealogies, but I'll tell you, if you follow far enough, Dee, we'll all be back to one tree, Adam and Eve.
Yep.
And Adam and Eve had tainted blood. But Jesus had Emmanuel's blood. Because Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost. She conceived of, Jesus had God's blood. Boy, I'd like to have some of that in me. Jesus had no sin. Yeah, and that I was Dr. DeHaan. How many of you ever read that? How many of you ever read the book by Dr. DeHaan, Chemistry of the Blood? It's a great book. I wrote it. I've read a bunch of books when I was in Bible college. Trouble is, I ain't been in Bible college in about 40 years, Rod. But he showed how God, Chemistry of the Blood, he showed how God was thinking about the virgin birth with Adam and Eve. Because, see, Eve, the blood of Eve, Eve got the seed from Adam. How many are still with me? All, the women, you don't give the blood to the baby.
the husband does.
Yes.
And so really God, from even from the creation of Adam and Eve, God was preparing a virgin birth for Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Now Mary, when she had the Jesus had brothers and sisters, they had sin, blood, because they were conceived of Joseph. But Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost. His blood was not tainted. His blood had no sin. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
And God, because only God, when he made Eve, he made sure that the woman he made could only conceive getting the blood by the man. But when they conceived, that the child would have the blood of the husband, the man. How many are with me? God was working on the virgin birth at the beginning with Eve. That'll blow your mind. Boy, God's pretty smart, ain't he? He said, well, about 2,000 years from now, I'm going to have to have Jesus come on. I better make sure the woman can't get the blood in her. The baby can't get the blood from the mother. You say, well, he's sustained in there. Yeah, the baby's sustained within you, ladies, but none of your blood gets in that baby. That blood comes. That's why they do the blood test to see who the father is.
Right.
Well, God did a blood test for Jesus. He said his blood came from the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Am I drawing you guys?
No.
Just bear with me today. I'm having fun. And okay, so we got four. One more to go. I got to get you out of here. John 1:1, number 1, in the beginning was the Word. John 1:1, the Word was with God. Number 3, John 1:1, the Word was God. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh. Pow, there's Jesus right there. And then turn back to 1 John 5:7. 1 John 5:7. It's near the back of your Bible. How many got it? It's the last verse. But it's not the last, but I'll stop. It's the last verse I'm going to give to you that I think of. For there are three, how many got 1 John 5:7? This is the fifth time that capital WRD is used in the Word of God. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father. By the way, this also shows the Trinity. This again, Carl, shows you the Holy Trinity. The Word. How many see a capital WRD?
Amen.
I say it's Jesus. And the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And so you had a little Bible study today on that word, W-O-R-D, every time it refers to Jesus Christ. Now, there will be some people that make commentaries in other Bibles that this verse 7 is not supposed to be in the Bible. I'm going to tell you something. God didn't make a mistake in any verse.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And I'm going to say this. I wouldn't want a Bible that corrected my Bible.
That's right.
Like if you got a notation in the middle of your Bible there, this is an error. Verse 7 was interpolated, put in there by mistake. I'd buy me a new King James Bible.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Because there's no error in the Word of God. I didn't have this plan. Let's close on this verse here. Coolidge, I was going to have you give a report on the next Wednesday. I want a report on the jail ministry, Coolidge. I wanted to do that today, and I got going. As a matter of fact, I even got the thing that you gave me. But next Wednesday, we're going to do that to start with, okay? I might preach later, but we're going to get a report on that jail ministry. That was a great report you gave me. I've got it done by my computer. I told you a verse, didn't I? Did I tell you what it was? Proverbs 30, verse 5. Proverbs 30, verse 5, and I'll shut my mouth. Hope I didn't bore you today. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. I got to quit eating ice cream and stuff, Jack. It's shooting my sugar way up. And when I eat, usually I can look at you guys without my glasses, and you're
You guys are clear crystal. I'm telling you tonight, you're not clear crystal. You're blurred. That tells me my sugars. It was in the 200s today. It's because I'm not eating right. I got to quit being an idiot. I love ice cream. You scream, I'll scream, we'll all scream for ice cream. I hope we have it in heaven. I'll be at the Dairy Queen every day. First, what did I tell you? Proverbs 30, verse 5. I hope I quote it. It says every word of God's pure. Go ahead and read that to me, Coons. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5.
Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
Yeah. Every word of God is pure. So if someone tells you, well, that's not a good rendering, they're an idiot. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care if the guy's got 50 doctorates. I don't care if he's got all kinds of acclamations to his name. Well, he's a great so-and-so. I'm going to tell you, ain't nobody greater than God. Well, why would this... What's that? Yeah, read it, Ed. I'll take it.
Proverbs 30. Oh, add not to the word of God. Go ahead, yeah.
It says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee.
You found a liar. Yeah, go ahead and read it again because I got so excited. Read it one more time. Read 5 and 6, Eddie.
Proverbs 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Verse 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
Yes. So if they say there's an error, just turn to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6 and say, God says you're a liar. Romans says, let God be true and every man a liar. You're a liar, liar. Your pants are on fire. And your jaw's going to hurt if you say another word because I'm going to bust your jaw. No, don't say that. Don't do that. We're supposed to be spirit of, let's see here. I got to quit. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm done. Hope you got something out of this today. God's word's always good. Take notes, learn, study. You know what I like about Tito Mel? When we do a Bible study, he takes notes. He goes to where he works and shares it with the people. He literally on the lunch hour. Now you can't do it. You can't do that on the people the company. You can't do it on company time. But most companies give a man 20-minute or 30-minute break. And Tito Mel does it on his break. He doesn't cheat his company. How many are still with me? The worst thing you can do is cheat your company. The Christian man should be the best worker in the plant. The Christian man or the Christian lady ought to be the best worker in the plant. I always tried to do a great job when I went. Years ago, I was young then, but I always tried to have a good testimony that I worked. My dad was known. They actually wrote it down. I'm not making this up. That when my dad died, they put a paper out about my dad. They said, by the way, my dad wasn't a saved man either, unless he got saved at the end. I hope he did. I stayed with him for 5 straight days. I never left him. But he said my dad was the hardest working employee that Allied Chemical had ever hired. That's what they said about Harvey Arnold Skyver. He was the hardest working employee that they ever hired. There were hundreds of people that worked in that plant. That was kind of a statement, wasn't it? Yes. You're right. I wish my dad would have got saved as a young man. He was a quiet, my dad didn't talk a lot. He was real quiet. He loved to hunt and fish and stuff like that, but he worked 7 days a week, Johnny. He'd work 7 days a week, 16 hours a day. I seen him get up after work and 4 straight days, and they called him, and I called him back. How can he come in and work 16 more? He just got home for the last 6. He's only been gone for me 20 minutes. But he actually got up and said, I'm coming, I'll come. And I called that's when I was still home with my dad before I was married. And I said, Dad, go back to bed. Legally, you can't work, because he knew the union. And I said, legally, you can't work, because you got to have 8 hours in between the 16. That was a law. And that's the only reason he went back to bed. And I called the plant and I said, he's not coming in. You're an idiot. He gives you enough of his life. Oh, we messed up. I said, yeah, you messed up. He's not coming. And so he'll see you the next shift. We both worked there for, I worked there for almost 15 years. I left when I was 30. I think I got out when I was around 32. I came right out of high school. Went in there. I think I was 31 or 32 when I started Lighthouse. 1980. I was born in 49. Then I didn't leave till 1982. So I think I was around 32 or 33 years old, whatever how that figures out. And have a testimony. Boy, I won a lot of people to Christ at Allied Chemical. I witnessed to a lot of people. Matter of fact, Joe and Cindy, they'll tell you that God used me in their life to bring them to Christ. And that's why we're so good friends. And, remember Joe and Cindy just here? Yeah. And lots of people. But don't cheat. I always did my job. Don't cheat. That's all that you do. All that you do for Christ, if you mess up, it'll dampen that testimony. All the things you let up will turn it away. And so you gotta guard your testimony. And I had a bad temper even when I was a kid. And I'll share this and I'll let you go home. Well, I don't know why. I'm back in memory lane today. When I got saved, Pastor Myers, I was so excited because I came from one extreme to the other. I couldn't believe that God would save me. I never got over being saved. I've always been excited being saved. Man, I'm going to heaven, man. Let's take a little North End hoodlum. Going to heaven. Can you believe that? Oh, he said forgiven. Never got over it. And before, when I first got saved, I didn't have knowledge. There's a scripture wrong, but I'm trying to bring it up. Have a knowledge of the word. I had it just a minute ago. Okay, it doesn't matter. But I had a great zeal for God without knowledge. That's the scripture. I can't pull it up or attend right now. But I had a great zeal for God without knowledge. And man, I wanted everybody to get saved. And I was trying to win this guy to Christ, and this man, he wouldn't listen to me. Another guy wouldn't listen to me, and I lost it. I said, I threw the table over, and don't ever do this. Don't ever do this. Jack, I got so mad that he wouldn't get saved. I said, you guys are going to die without Christ. But I led a lot of men to Christ.
Amen.
But these two guys wouldn't get saved in the lunchroom. And I got so mad, I turned the table right over and threw it against the wall, two chairs. And I said, you're all going to die and go to hell. You're all going to die and go to hell. You are. Go on, die and go to hell, you stinking devils. And I went back to my locker. And I went defeated. I remember Brother Mike came to me, another Christian, he said, wow, you sure got it for Christ. He said, I think you'd have to tone it down. He said, I can really tell you care. He said, that might not be the best approach, though. Get saved or I'm going to shoot you. Which way you go? And then I went to Bible college, and the doctor broke because I wrote Calm Fellow. And he calmed me down a little. And he taught me. And when you have scriptures set you free.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a zeal for God, but without knowledge. That's why you need to study your Bible.
Yes.
That's why you need to get in your heart. So whenever the preacher says, if someone comes to ask a good, someone asks you a question, you give them a good report out of your heart, you see. And so, study the Word of God, learn the Word of God, and by the way, you wait and teach them out. You know why you learn so much? Oh, I'm really wrong. I'm sorry I'm getting so long. Just teach them out. When you get something, you give it out to others. I've taught you this for years. Here's how you get from God. God, I need it. Give it out.
God gives it to you. Let's get here. You can barely hear me. But got a coupon from Wes. Got some good stuff going on at Giant Eagle. 20 cents off the gas, too. If all you do is take it in, look up here, I'm trying to quit. If all you do is take it in and don't give it out, God will stop giving it to you.
Amen.
If you just take it in, God will cut you off eventually. Because the reason God's giving you things that you can give it out. Mm-hmm. And the things that thou shalt know many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. The only reason you're getting it, because God wants you to give it to somebody else. There's a saying the kids are like, pass it on. Pass it on. Well, this is what the world needs to be passed on to them.
Yep.
The old King James Bible. Okay, I got to stop. Let's stand for prayer. Glad you came tonight. Sorry. I'm sorry if I bored you. I'm glad you came. Bobby, why don't you lead us in prayer, Bobby?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Bible study we had tonight, Lord. Just thank you, Father, for putting preacher's heart to share that with us, Lord. And we pray, Father, that we will go out and share that with others. Lord, we know that that's what you want us to do. We just pray that you give us the strength and encourage us and help us to do that.
Yes.
Father, we pray that you would be with us on our way home and do our separate ways. Bring us back to the appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.